Picture this, 10,000 head of Rambouillet Merino sheep spending their days grazing in the crisp air of the Montana mountains, producing the finest wool in America. These rugged landscapes are our home and have been for four generations. Welcome to Duckworth Premium Merino Wool. Every garment is born from American soil and crafted with passion, pride, and precision. From the sheep grazing on our Montana ranch to the skilled craftsmen and women whose hands knit, sew, and spin every fiber that make up our products, our process is a collaboration of American ingenuity and dedication. With Duckworth Merino Wool, you're not just buying a garment, you're investing in a legacy. Our commitment to growing, spinning, knitting, and sewing our own garments right here in America ensures unparalleled quality with stewardship of the land at our core. And the best part? You can wear our products with pride, knowing that you're supporting local communities and American workers every step of the way. So if you're ready to experience the true essence of American craftsmanship, visit Duckworth.com today. Apparel for the outdoor enthusiast and everyday lifestyle alike. We believe there's no such thing as bad weather, only bad clothing. Check out Duckworth today. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Hey guys, and welcome back to the show. Hope you guys are having a great day today. We're going to talk all things Christ is King. We're going to talk about the controversy between Candace Owens and Ben Shapiro. But first, I want to remind you of a couple things. Shepherd's Crook Intensive is coming up in May. I need you to reach out to me. I need to get some headcounts here. So gather your buddies, get people to church, send me a message, and I'll give you an address where you can send a check. Would love for you to be there. Father and son trip. It's just for any guys that are looking for a really good trip with some good teaching and some fun things to do. We're going to go to Eminence, Missouri, May 16th through the 18th. A.D. Robles is going to be speaking along with Matt Reynolds. It's going to be a great time. Please reach out to me. Would love for you to come. Love for you to make it. Also, on Instagram, we still have a really great giveaway going on for a few more days. You can get in on the giveaway with Duckworth. Duckworth is a sponsor of the month. They're doing a great job doing everything they can in-house in this country and putting out products that are really, really good lifetime products. This hoodie that we're giving away is a phenomenal hoodie and would love for you to sign up for that. And maybe, you might be the winner of the powder hoodie from Duckworth. It's $175 if you just go and buy it. Or you can maybe get it for free and have a hoodie you can give down to your grandchildren. It's pretty cool. Okay, well, let's go ahead and pray and ask for the Lord's help. We're going to answer a question that we've tackled before about 6 months ago. We talked about the whole Israel question, and we're going to talk about that question again from Romans chapter 8, Galatians chapter 3, and then we're going to finish in Romans chapter 11. But I want to also highlight the difference between Christ is King statement, and some people are making parallels to Black Lives Matter statement, saying that both can be used for right and wrong ways. And these are parallel or similar statements, and I'm going to debunk that. So let's go ahead and pray and ask for the Lord's help. Father, we just thank you for this time. Holy Spirit, lead. I pray you would help me to be clear and helpful to those who have questions. It seems like because we've been so inundated with dispensational theology in this country for 100 years or so, questions surrounding who are the people of God, who are the chosen people of God, and after 1948, what's this deal with Israel and prophecy and all of that? And so help me bring some clarity, some bedrock answers to those that may have differing conclusions on a few things that I say here. Help us to get some unifying things about these bedrock foundational truths about who are the children of Abraham, who are the true people of God. So help us with that. I trust you will. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's go ahead and start with Romans chapter 9. And what I want to do is just kind of move some things aside that are in the way, that are fogging our vision or in the way of our vision of seeing clearly basic questions about Christianity, about who are the children of Abraham, who are the people of God. Because right now, this controversy between Ben Shapiro and over there with Candace Owens at Daily Wire getting removed, she's been saying Christ is King. And I want to give props to her because she's been asked to stop saying that, or it's been frustrating people around her in her circle because she's been saying that, and she's just been saying Christ is King harder. I mean, Jesus really is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We should be able to say that without reservation, and everybody should be saying that without reservation. Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. There isn't any place on this earth where he isn't Lord, where he doesn't have authority. He has all authority in heaven and earth. Christ is King. 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 Yes and amen. Apparently, there's a minority of people that are using this phrase in kind of a weird way, or maybe even an anti-Semitic way. I don't know. Everybody says that even the phrase, you know, today, because there are so many Jewish people in power and positions of authority and media and all of that, are making this statement, Christ is King, to be inherently anti-Semitic or something, which is crazy. And we're going to draw differences here between our brothers and sisters in Christ that are ethnically from the line of Abraham, but are actually a part of the chosen people of God. They're actually a child of Abraham through faith here in a minute, because we need to differentiate who is a Jew and who is a real Jew. What is Israel? Who is Israel ethnically over there in that landmass since 1948? And who is an actual Israelite, the Israel of God? And that's the distinctions we want to make here today. And then why is it that Shapiro rages? And one of the reasons he rages is because he's rejected Christ. We'll look at that here in just a little bit. So, all right, who is Israel? Romans 9 makes this really, really clear. Okay. Doesn't matter what your eschatology is, we should all be able to agree on this, okay? For not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel. Very simple. Not all of Israel is Israel. There's an Israel within Israel. So there's one people of God throughout the history of time, Old Testament and New. Just because you're born in the line of Abraham doesn't make you a child of Abraham. Verse 7, and not all are children of Abraham because they are his offspring. So again here, basic Christianity. Just because you are born in the lineage of Abraham doesn't make you a child of Abraham. And not all, so say, but through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise who are counted as his offspring. You know what that means? The people living in the nation state of Israel right now are not children of Abraham. They're not the real Israel. They are not the chosen people of God. This makes it a whole lot clearer here in just a second, because we're told that Rebekah conceived children by one man, Isaac, though they were not yet born, speaking of the children within the womb of Rebekah, and they had done neither good or bad, in order that God's purpose in election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who calls. She was told, the older will serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob I loved, and Esau I hated. Now Jacob and Esau were both naturally children of Abraham. They come from Isaac and Rebekah. This is in the lineage of Abraham. And yet, they are not. Jacob is a child of God, and Esau is not a child of God. Jacob I loved, but Esau I had hated. Both natural offspring. This makes sense in the New Testament then, when you hear John the Baptist saying that I can rise up to make these stones raise up and praise Jesus, or Jesus, when Jesus says this, and he calls both John the Baptist and Jesus, people that are ethnically Jews, children of the devil, because they don't have faith in the Messiah. Not all Israel is Israel. This is true. This isn't replacement theology. There's always been one and only one people of God, chosen by grace, saved through faith in Christ Jesus and in Christ Jesus alone. Not all Israel is Israel, but it's those who are chosen by grace. That's the people of God. This is really helpful for us when we're thinking about this. So when somebody pulls this discussion and you hear on the media, or you hear Christians that are steeped in dispensationalism, that Israel is the chosen people of God, you can say, no, they're not. They're not the chosen nation. They're not the people of God. They can be fully included, and their full inclusion in Christ Jesus into the church happens by only one way, not their bloodline, not their family lineage, not being connected to Abraham through that genealogy, but through the blood of Jesus and the blood of Jesus alone. That's why I've got a Jewish friend of mine who is an ethnic Jew who belongs to Jesus. He's a part of the Israel of God. He is a child of Abraham by faith. That's what Galatians chapter 3 says. Just as Abraham believed God, it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then, it's those who are of faith that are sons of Abraham. Those of faith who are sons of Abraham. Those who don't have faith are not sons of Abraham. Who are the chosen people of God? Who are the children of Abraham? It's not Ben Shapiro. I want Ben Shapiro. He's heard the gospel over and over again from people who have presented it to him. And if he does not repent, he will be held to a greater rule or standard because of how many attempts that the gospel has been preached and proclaimed to him, how many attempts that people have made to call him to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has rejected it every single time. And he has raged at Christ being called king because he does not like Jesus. He does not like Christians. And he tries to, this whole Judeo-Christian ethic, the United States doesn't have a Judeo-Christian ethic. We have a Christian ethic. Big difference. Now, the passage goes on. Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations of the world be blessed. So then, those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. The question has to do with not what is your bloodline, but you are a child of Abraham if you have faith in Christ. It's really simple. That's the reality. Now, let's get to the Christ is King business. So that answers that one question, that bedrock question. It's simple. It's the book is closed. The Bible is clear. Who are the people of God? Who are the chosen people of God? It's not anything to do with post-1948 Israel. That has nothing to do with people of God. They are not unless they repent and trust in Jesus. There's been widespread abandoning of the promises of God and the covenants of God, the sacrifices of God. There's just abandonment, apostasy from the Jewish people who have rejected Christ outright, except for those Messianic Jews who have repented and trusted in Christ, just like Gentiles like myself, through grace, by grace through faith. Okay, now, what is this deal with people saying that Christ the King is anti-Semitic, or equating it with Black Lives Matter? And there is a clear distinction here that anytime somebody brings this up, typically from the left, or even sometimes like the conservative folks right now that are a little bit cautious about the Christ is King phrase, you shouldn't be cautious about it. It's not connected to Nick Fuentes or whatever. You shouldn't be weirded out by that. Here's the deal. With Black Lives Matter, the majority of people saying Black Lives Matter were, Marxist, racist, affirmative action, degradation of, or the dissemination of the nuclear family. It was awful things. That the majority of people who are saying Black Lives Matter were on this bandwagon, and it was wicked, evil, and vile. A minority of them were actually saying, hey, Black Lives really matter, in which we would all say, oh, well, yeah, of course, duh. I mean, who's saying that Black Lives don't matter? So you get that, the difference, majority, minority. Christ is King. The majority of people that are saying Christ the King are just people who are acknowledging and finally, boldly, some people for the very first time in their life, free to acknowledge publicly, wait a minute, I'm tired of everything else. I'm tired of him being trampled upon. I'm tired of being quiet and just being a punching bag for the left or punching bag for liberals, punching bag for every other religion. I'm going to stand up and declare boldly that Jesus has all authority, that Christ is King, and I'm not going to back down when they tell me that it's anti-Semitic or that somehow it's wrong for me to say it. I'm going to say it louder to more and more people, and I'm not going to stop until, by the grace of God, many people bow their knee to King Jesus. That's what we want to see. Whether we see many or few or none, we're going to proclaim the truth that Christ is King. A majority of people that are using that are people that are fired up on the internet, that are excited to publicly voice that Jesus is Lord and he's Lord of all. That is a really good thing. And we need more and more Christians across this land and communities just like the communities here in Southern Illinois and wherever you live to sound the alarm and to chant it loud, Christ is King, Christ is King, Christ is King, to anybody and everybody that would listen, to all creatures. The trees need to hear that Christ is King, even though they inherently know. Animal kingdom needs to know Christ is King, even though they inherently know Christ is King. Now, the minority of people are taking that as some sort of political banner and are recognizing that there's people that don't like that the name Christ is being lifted up, that the name of Jesus is being proclaimed, that the name of Jesus is being chanted. They're recognizing that there are people in power that don't like the idea that they aren't in power, that they have somebody that's an authority over them. And what people with this political agenda are seeing is the phrase Christ is King is sticking in people's craw, and it's bothering people like crazy. So I'm going to say it louder just as a political ploy. Or maybe some are using it for some sort of ethnic animosity or something like that. But that's the minority. That's the minority. And the reason they're doing it is because they're seeing that the phrase Christ the King is triggering all the right people. It's triggering the people who are evil and vile and using their power to destroy people in this country, in this world. Now, I say, okay, well, what about Ben Shapiro? What's the deal? Why is he so angry? The reason Ben Shapiro is so angry is because he's a child of the devil. Just like he's a child of wrath, like the rest of mankind. And he has a tremendous amount of influence, wealth, and power, and audience. And he is refusing to recognize that he has an authority over him that is King Jesus. And what he needs to do is repent. He needs to heed what Candace Owens is saying to him, what John MacArthur has said to him, what Vodi Bakum has said to him, and what others have said to him, that Christ really is Lord, he is King, and Ben Shapiro will bow now or when it's too late. He will bow now or when it's too late, but everyone, rest assured, will acknowledge that Christ is Lord. That's the deal. But why doesn't he like it? Because he doesn't like Jesus. Modern day ethnic Jews and ethnic Jews down the history, on the mass and whole, besides just a few people within that ethnic group, have rejected Jesus. They don't like Jesus. They do not believe he's the Messiah. And so when they hear people saying Christ is King, they don't like it. It makes them rage. It triggers them. Now, what about the future of the ethnic Jews? Well, I think Romans chapter 11, one of the most confusing passages in all the Bible, gives us a little bit of insight. And you're going to come down on different sides of the aisle on this. I don't know. But what I'm saying here today is hope. The phrase, Christ is King, is hope for those that are born ethnically Jews. Because they need to hear it. They need to hear about his authority. And they need to shake in the presence and the reality that Jesus really is over them. That he's in charge of them. That he is the one that's just giving them the very breath that they're breathing. So what do we see in Romans chapter 11? So I ask, did they stumble, speaking of Jews, in order that they might fall? By no means. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles, so as to make Israel jealous. Now, if their trespass means riches for the world, if their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? Now, what does that mean, full inclusion? Well, some believe that that means that in the close to the end of this era, age, that there's going to be a revival of ethnic Jews that come to Jesus, that recognize he is the Messiah. Or it means their full inclusion within the church. So Jewish brothers and sisters in Christ right now all across the world that have repented of their sins and trusted in Christ, and now they are fully included in the promises and the plans of God, the covenants of God. God is a covenant-keeping God, and all the promises that were given to Israel are fulfilled and are yes and amen in Christ, and they're experiencing that. So one of those. So the reality is, when you hear people say, and this is incredibly practical for right now, when you hear all this prophetic stuff that's all around this Israel and what's happening here and there, you have to keep in mind, wait a minute, who are the people of God? Those who are chosen by grace, those who have faith in Christ, are the true children of Abraham. That people group over there is not the people of God. They have no claim to the promises of God at all. Those who are in Christ Jesus have all the promises of God, and they are a yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Okay, guys, I hope this is helpful. It is certainly a hopeful message. Somebody say, well, what about if there's Jews listening in that don't know Jesus? Repent and trust in Jesus. And the promises of God can certainly come to you, and he won't revoke them. He revoked none of them. He's fulfilled them all in Christ and given them to those who are in Christ Jesus, the true Israel of God. And for my Jewish brothers and sisters in Christ, we get to praise God together, because both Jew and Gentile are welcome to the table together under the blood of Jesus. And we celebrate that. And we want Jew and Gentile, the children of wrath that are the Gentiles and the children of wrath that are the Jews, the children of wrath that are all of mankind. We want them to repent and bow the knee before it's too late and declare that Christ is King. Christ is King. Okay? Amen. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Thanks again for listening to the Shepherd's Crook podcast. For more information, you can go to theshepherdscrook.co. Please consider leaving a rating or review on iTunes. And if you want to become a member of the Shepherd's Crook, please message me and we'll get you on the list. We hope you have a great rest of your day.